So we're going to look at James chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at the subject of trials and temptations. So if you want to grab a Bible, you'll find it helpful to have it, have one in front of you, and we're on the church Bible on page 1213. Okay, it says this. This is James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is James, who is Jesus' brother. So knew Jesus well. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. You can understand why this is quite an interesting verse, isn't it? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So Lord God, we just pray that you would speak to us through your words. Open our eyes to see wonderful things. Change and transform us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anyone here ever been on a plane? Most of us, if not all of us, been on a plane. You know, flying can be great fun. You know, you've got your in-flight entertainment. It's often, you know, on the longer flights, there's the kind of complimentary drinks and the complimentary food, and it can be really, really good. One of the things I love about flying is the amazing views you get. You know, especially if you fly over the Alps. You anyone ever flown over the Alps? And you get this incredible perspective down on these snowy mountains, which is just extraordinary. It's wonderful. You get a perspective you get nowhere else. But flying also has some problems, not least when you hit turbulence. Anyone ever hit turbulence? It's not nice, is it? Turbulence, you know, it's caused by storms, and it can be really scary, and sometimes it actually makes the news. Here's a news feature with some turbulence that hit the news in the United States.
Severe turbulence walloping a passenger jet on a transatlantic flight. And ABC's David Curley has all the latest from Washington. Good morning, David.
George, some frightening moments that morning we hear often when we are in your seat. Buckle your seatbelt. Well, passengers on that flight from New York to Dublin found out what can happen very suddenly when their jet was hit by severe turbulence.
We hit a pretty bad thunderstorm, and we have some passengers hurt, so we need some ambulance to meet the flight.
This morning, we're hearing the dramatic moments from the cockpit of United Flight 23 as the plane, full of people, tossed around by a huge downdraft Sunday on its descent into Dublin.
We would like to have the truck standing by.
By truck, he means ambulance. United says the seatbelt light was on for the 129 passengers from Newark, but some were still injured.
United 23, Do you reckon one or more ambulances you need?
Well, it could be as many as six or so people, so it might be a couple ambulances.
We've seen on other flights what can happen when unstable air violently shakes an aircraft, like this NASA video. Yeah! And on this JetBlue flight over New York.
I hope that doesn't put you off. Sorry, Lisa. You know, following Jesus can be a little bit like taking a flight. There are amazing moments, you know, kind of in-flight moments. You get this extraordinary perspective that you just don't get anywhere else. It can be wonderful, but there are also times of turbulence, times which are really difficult, kind of storms that hit. And James kind of addresses this issue of turbulence right at the beginning of his letter. And he says this, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials or turbulence of many kinds. James here deals head on with kind of the most challenging stuff in life. Trials, that word kind of encompasses a whole lot of things, from illness to money challenges to persecution to relationship problems. It's a really broad word. And James seems to demand a completely unreasonable response. Joy. Joy when you hit difficult times. How do you react when you face trials, when you face difficulties? How do you react when things don't go your way? I'm asking my children some of these questions at lunchtime. I ask them, you know, how do you react when your parents or teachers make a decision you think is unfair? And they go, oh, it's so rubbish. Is it joy? No. How do you react when things are hard at school or hard at work? How do you respond to criticism? How do you respond to illness, to sickness? How do you react when you don't get your choices at school? How do you react when you're kind of left out or not invited to that particular thing? How do you react when you have to do something you don't want to do? Anyone got their hand up for joy in those moments? Do you have joy? So James, interestingly, he's writing to Christians who've just recently been kind of scattered all over the place because of persecution. They've been going through really difficult times, far more difficult than all of those things that I've just mentioned. They would have been kind of trying to make sense of it all, questioning, is it worth it? What's it going to achieve? And James says, joy. And he's just saying, why? Why joy? It seems to suggest that the way we react to those difficult things in our lives actually kind of indicates a little bit how we're doing with God. Do you press through with joy, or do you panic? I know sometimes what it's like to panic, kind of want to get out, feel despair, feel sorry for yourself. Consider it joy. How is that possible? That's what we're going to look at tonight. This is quite a shocking verse and can seem almost insensitive, because joy is the opposite reaction to what we would normally have. And I think that is partly the point, or mainly the point. You see, James isn't asking for a normal human reaction. He's encouraging something supernatural in the midst of difficulty. What happens on a plane when you hit turbulence? What sign comes up? Anyone know? Seatbelt sign. Seatbelt sign. In fact, I understand they have it on all the time now, because you just don't know when you're going to hit turbulence. And a seatbelt is really important because it actually protects you from getting injured, getting hurt. And actually, the injuries that occur during turbulence happen because people haven't got their seatbelts on. And this joy thing, it's a bit like a seatbelt. It's something that we need to kind of put on, that we need to get from God. And it's a protection in times of trouble. And it's something that we need on all the time, because we don't know when that trouble is going to hit. So tonight I just want to give some kind of in-flight safety advice, okay? How to get your joy on and how to keep it on. And here's my first bit of advice, or God's first bit of advice that we see from James. And it's this: remember where you're heading. What's the point of a plane? It's to get you somewhere, isn't it? And, you know, if you're going on holiday, it's usually to a better place than where you currently are. And, you know, if you could fly anywhere in the world, just think, where would you fly? Just turn to the person next to you. Tell you, so where would you fly? Anywhere in the world. I wonder if it's somewhere like this. It's nice, isn't it? Fly somewhere like that. I could cope with that. I could cope with a bit of turbulence to get there. Do you know, one of the, when you're facing trials, one of the key things to remember is where you're heading, is what the future holds. Verse 12 of this passage says this: blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. The crown of life. That speaks not just of a desert island that is beautiful, but a whole eternal life with God, the most extraordinary new creation. Do you know, so much better than you think of your dream holiday, and the new creation is so much bigger, so much better than that. The destination is amazing, extraordinary, a crown of life that we look forward to. Every need met. Sin no more, death no more, sickness no more, pain no more. God comes and says, I'm going to make everything new. Wonderful. Remember the destination. But there is more than that. More than just the joy of knowing where you're going to arrive, kind of finally. You know, actually the Bible and James says that the suffering and pain that we experience now is not pointless. It's not just meaningless pain. There is purpose in our pain. You know, God wastes nothing. Isn't that great? God wastes nothing in our lives. Look, verse 3 says this: because you know, why should you have joy? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Testing leads to strength. You know, this storm tests whether our faith is real, and it also strengthens our faith when we're in the midst of those storms. You know, when you're on board a plane, it's comforting to know that it's been tested, isn't it? How do they test planes? They put them under strain. They put them under pressure so that they know that they're strong enough to keep going. And that's what God does to us in His grace. He actually puts us through things, allows us to go through things to strengthen us for the long haul. The long haul. God promises not to test us beyond what we can bear, but He does test us so we will be made stronger. And this is, verse 4, so this happens: let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Not lacking anything. You know, God has a bigger purpose than just to make us comfortable in life. He wants to make us complete. He wants us to get us into a position where we lack nothing at all. Isn't that great? Lack nothing. Do you know, some of you have recently or are taking exams at the moment, and you will know that wonderful thing called revision. It's great, isn't it? I used to hate revision. Do you know, it's painful, isn't it? It can feel really painful doing revision, but it has a purpose, and ultimately it has a reward. Hard work pays off in being able to do a job that you enjoy, to be able to have choices as you move forward in life. Do you know, when I was younger, I always used to be a bit of a daydreamer. I used to stare out of the window in class rather than do my writing. My son's inherited this wonderful gift. Especially at primary school, my workbooks would be sent home with a little message from my teacher saying, Timothy took 1 hour to do this, and there'd be half a sentence. I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but this was me. I just didn't understand that there was any purpose to it. I didn't look beyond that immediate, this is painful, I'm not going to do this, because I didn't know, realize, what I now realize is there actually is a purpose to that hard work. I just wanted to avoid the pain. And you know, so often we do that with pain. We go, I don't really understand the purpose, so I'm just going to try and avoid pain. I'm going to do everything I can in my life to avoid pain. We ensure ourselves and we protect ourselves. And we forget that actually God has purpose in pain. Do you know, in order to know that purpose, we need wisdom. That's what God says. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Ask God. We need wisdom to be able to see our lives from God's perspective. You know, and this wonderful thing says this. God says, who gives generously to all without finding fault. If you ask for wisdom, it will be given to you. If you ask God, God, help me. Help me to see things from your perspective. God loves to answer those prayers. And there's a picture here of real faith experiencing real answers to prayer. But there's also a warning. And there's this warning that if we don't do that, then we will be kind of just tossed about. Look, when you ask, you must believe. Don't doubt, because the one who doubts like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Do you know, we all know people who've kind of abandoned their faith in the midst of the storms. And that's the contrasting picture here. It's someone who's kind of not got their belt on. They kind of not got their perspective, their eyes on God, and they're just in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, just getting tossed about. And what is already very difficult, and trials are very, very difficult, become impossible. They're being tossed about, being rocked. Do you know, someone who's not got their belt on, their seatbelt on, is going to really struggle in the storm. Do you know, if you think this is your ultimate home, if kind of all your all your kind of hope is stacked up in getting that perfect job or getting that perfect relationship and getting that perfect house, your joy is going to be so fragile. Whenever difficulties come, you will be rocked by the storms. How do we know that God can work through our pain? Well, do you know, we don't need to look any further than the amazing example of Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, James, the brother of Jesus, he saw all this. Interestingly, the Bible says that James didn't believe in Jesus. Do you know that? Now, obviously he believed him, he existed. That would be hard to imagine about your brother, wouldn't it? Although sometimes we might wish that was true of a sibling. But it says, the Bible says that he didn't believe who he was. In fact, he even challenged Jesus' mission, said, you're going about it the wrong way. Something extraordinary happened. Jesus died. And James knew what it was to be in a place of despair and hopelessness. James knew what it was to be in that place where he said, there's just no hope. Surely, God, you can't be able to work now. But what happened? 3 days later, Jesus rises to life. The greatest pain gives way to the greatest victory. Death gives way to life. You see, God moves extraordinarily through pain. Do you know, often it's through our greatest pains that God is working his greatest plans. And we should remember that. It's through often our greatest pains that God is working his greatest plans. There is purpose for now, and there's purpose for the future. That is why we can know joy. Remember where you're heading. Keep your seatbelt on. And here's two final brief bits of advice. Travel light. Travel light. Sometimes you see people at airports, and they've just got too much stuff. Yeah. You ever seen? Here's some pictures of some people with too much stuff. Yeah? Are you a bit like the donkey sometimes? Yeah? Just got too much stuff. And do you know what? Your excess baggage is going to be quite a lot if you turn up at the airport like that. But James chapter 1 has this picture of two different types of people. It has a rich person and a poor person in verse 9 to 11. And it says something really strange. It says the poor person should take pride in their high position, and the rich person should take pride in their low position. And you think, well, that's wrong, because we think the people in the rich are in the high position and the people who are poor are in the low position. So what's going on there? Well, this is the mystery of the kingdom. Is that actually people with riches, when we have riches, it actually multiplies our worry. You will know this is true when you get a new phone or anything new. What happens? You're suddenly worried about it, aren't you? Oh no, I've dropped my new phone. Oh no, you scratched my phone. Oh no. I remember when we had a new car, and I think I shared this. You know, soon after we had a new car, I discovered my daughter had outside in this driveway where we were visiting, and she picked up one of the little stones and was drawing on the side of the new car, which was a wonderful moment where I realized I valued my car at that moment more than my daughter, you know, because I was like, what are you doing? She didn't know. She was like 2 years old. But we did. Riches actually increase our worry. Do you know, many people spend time thinking about what they'd do if they won the lottery without realizing that actually, in many cases, most cases, our worries increase with our riches. Travel light, no heavy bags. Don't settle for less than the crown of life. And finally, no explosives. No explosives. Okay. First time I went on a plane, I was about 13 years old, and I went to Finland with a friend and his mum. She was Finnish. And we're on this great holiday, and in Finland, they have slightly different, this was quite a few years ago, obviously, they had slightly different rules on what you're allowed and stuff, and they had these bangers that were basically like mini sticks of dynamite. I think we've got some dynamite. And you could buy these bangers, and they were extraordinary. I mean, they made it the biggest banger you wouldn't believe, and you could get whole mats of them. And I thought, I've got to take some back. I've got to show my friends at home. They will not believe these bangers. So I loaded myself up. And you know what happens at an airport? It's my first time I'm traveling with someone else's family. You go through one of these, don't you? Beep, 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 beep. I'm like, oh no. That's supposed to detect metal, not explosives. Try again, sir. Beep, 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 beep. And I did have loads of change in my pockets. Schoolboy era. Can you empty your pockets, please? Empty my pockets. And one of these mini sticks of dynamite falls out. And my goodness, all of a sudden, I find myself in a little room. I'm being searched. My friend's mum's in there being questioned. I'm being questioned. What are you doing? Why, you can't board the plane? And I'm just like, I just wanted to show my friends the bangers. And it was a bit of a nightmare. And but they had a really good reason to not let me board the plane. Because explosives on an aeroplane are not good. They really are. It results in death. And you know, this is what the Bible says about our sin. Look, it says that verse 15, then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. And your sin, the stuff we do wrong, isn't kind of just fun. It's actually explosive. It can lead to death. And God, so when God says, don't do this, he doesn't say, oh, I'm trying to spoil your fun. It's like, I'm trying to protect you from stuff that's going to lead to just terrible results. Explosions. No explosives. Are you carrying dangerous stuff, dangerous thoughts? Do you kind of, as you kind of approach to God tonight, is there kind of the beeper going off? You suddenly realize I'm not even allowed on a plane. Do you know, it's dangerous to you, it's dangerous to others, and that's why we need Jesus. That's why it says at the end, he chose to give us birth. He chose to give us new birth. He wants us to get rid of all that baggage. Kind of get rid of that explosive stuff. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he died. So that we could have that extraordinary destination with him. So we could know joy. Joy comes from him. And when we get joy, it's very infectious. It's a bit like this Coca-Cola advert as we end.